Good morning. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us at 434-1790. That's our telephone number, and you can converse with us there. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, 266-4862. Send a message there, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, and we will, as time permits, engage on those topics. John Stout is taking care of things technical. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host, and we go until 1:30. Received an email from a contributor. Sometimes he sends messages, sometimes he calls. It's a rather short one. He says, just some food for thought. Let us set aside the optics of a local rep or reps at these truck dealers for a moment. That's the incident in the UK. And yes, the optics are awful. But if the government has little or no central bank foreign exchange, and the private sector has, through commercial banks, net foreign assets, should the government be looking to purchase used trucks in foreign or domestic currency? Who then should government be looking to purchase them from? Thought-provoking questions. As usual, he always does that. The other thought that came to mind when I read his message was this. Barbados finds itself negotiating with the IMF for a bailout for some funds. Barbados also finds itself in a position where it has reneged on its foreign debt after several downgrades. Barbados also finds itself in a position where a former government minister is in the United States on charges of using his office for personal gain and laundering the funds. Those are the charges. That's the situation. Isn't it going to present us with a bit of a challenge when we go to purchase anything from anybody, whether it is garbage trucks, buses, or anything else, because we're not in a position where we used to have a good reputation in the international community? So I throw that back at my friend for him to consider while I consider his questions. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I am all right, and you?
Not too bad. Let's continue for real, therefore, just now.
Mm-hmm.
If I borrow $200 million from you and we make an agreement that I will pay about your money in 3 years' time, that's a 3.75% interest. And at the end of the 6 months, I come and tell you, Mr. Johnson, I want to suspend my payments to you. Give me an additional 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You are looking for me to pay about you your money. What is the first thing you will have in mind?
That I should never lend you money again.
Right. And what I would be looking forward to expect coming from you?
More stringent measures for giving you an extra chance to pay me back.
Right. And then the next thing, I will be CD bailiff at my door?
Well, if you have anything to be bailed, if you don't have anything to be bailed, I don't know what I'll do, lock you up, I presume, or take you to court or something for my money. The problem is, what do you have that I could take?
I might have a factory.
Well, I would put a lien on it, I think that's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And anything you do in the factory will be mine, not yours.
Right. So when you talk about suspending payments, what do you really understand by that?
So you're begging for a chance, basically. That's the best way to put it. You go to your bankers or your whoever you've borrowed from and say, look, I'm in a bit of a jam. If you give me 2 weeks, I could borrow some money from a friend across the road. Or, you know, say it happens to people from time to time. And
yes,
it depends on who you borrow from and your reputation. If you have a good reputation, they may say, all right, I give you 2 weeks. If you've asked before or you're in a bad position, they may take advantage of your stamp on your back and tell me, give me all you got.
Yeah, but Mr. Johnson, every borrow from you to pay about John, they brought up a joint appeal.
Yes, which is why I said if you have a good reputation, because it happens from time to time. People borrow from one person to pay back another, and eventually word gets wrong that you've borrowed from four or five people, and people start looking at you suspiciously.
But you know, at the end of the day, your grandchildren are the ones that have to pay back all this debt that we will go.
I can't disagree with you, because I've asked on more than one occasion and haven't had an answer yet exactly how much it is we want. You know how much we want?
No.
Oh, good. Neither do I. And that, too, will determine how stringent the terms are.
Right.
Because the difference between 500 million and a billion is a lot.
Well, I mean, if you go to the gentleman at World Amazon, that's a little thing in the pocket for him. He can do that in a day.
Some people could do it, some people cannot.
Right. Okay, sir.
All right, sir. One thing is for sure. We're still borrowing. And once you borrow, the old adage goes, I must pay back. So there will be paybacks involved. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Morning, DJ. How are you?
I am all right, and you? Yeah, don't answer. Well, you asked, so I ask. Go ahead, tell me. What's on your
before
mind?
Before I go into what you have to say, right? The program that Larry Horst on evenings, what is that called?
You're asking the wrong person, sir.
All right.
I don't know.
I called the program yesterday, and I was a bit aggressive in my presentation to Larry.
You're always aggressive when you're upset.
Right. And Larry was a kind of taken aback because...
Well, you know, call him and apologize off air.
No, I am going to do it now.
Okay. Okay.
On the radio.
Okay.
Right. So I am apologizing. But my main concern was somebody sent a message to Larry supporting me. I don't want anybody supporting me when I'm wrong. I don't want nobody doing that. When I'm wrong, hammer me. Do like Dennis does sometimes. Hammer me. Don't support me because they've been giving me the impression that I am correct. Yesterday when I spoke about that lady's plight, before he ended the conversation, I asked for someone from the Barbados Party, I should have said anybody, to call and give support, not a boycott. But when I do wrong things again, so I don't want that kind of support. I don't want it. So again, to Larry, my apologies. If it was a doctor, you would have been dead because it would have prescribed the wrong medication. Thank God I'm not the doctor. Now, and I want you to sit down and write. Call this big text.
I am quiet.
Peter Tosh. You know Bob is my favorite person, right?
Yeah.
But Peter Tosh, there's a song that he has named Just Say No. There's Glass House, and there's another very popular one. These men, Tosh, Marty, Mandela, Garvey, Castro, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, those men give their lives fighting for our freedom. Some did it in song, some did it otherwise. As we do not contain the work, those men would have died in vain. They could have just sat back and enjoyed the profit from their career. They did not. We need to do some very, and this I find too, I'm not saying that you are saying it, but I find that whenever we go talk about ourselves, people accuse you of being racist. It has not been being racist. As he just said, he don't want the peace, he want equal rights and justice. And I agree with that. We have to search our souls and ourselves. It is not about us now, you know. It's about our little children, our little grandchildren, because if we don't stand up and continue this fight, those children are going to inherit this. Maybe they might leave this earth before the time because they may not be as tolerant as some was in the past, and they might use different methods. All of that can be avoided. we need to come together. Bob said in an interview, how long do we have to suffer before we come together? Because once we come together, we ain't going to fight one another. And these fights, you saying the carriage is aboard, I saying there's something else. We are going to disagree and argue. And one day we can stop playing around with one another. If we see that car as a car, we sit together and not going to argue about it because we see the same thing. And to all the party supporters who are one another throat, I want to kill one another, check today's paper. Everyone is lending support to Santiago Brashaw, including myself. Everyone, not one politician for the opposition said he wants today.
Sir, and that is the beauty of our political apparatus, that in times of need we gather together. As the current leader of the Democratic Labour Party said, they've shared chambers for a period of time and they're not enemies. That's how we should work. Missing one U.S. passport lost on Accra Beach belonging to Sandra Long. If you find this passport, a U.S. passport belonging to Sandra, S-A-U-N-D-R-A, Long, contact Accra Beach Hotel, the number 435-8920. Thank you. Brass Tax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, ma'am.
I like the way she could talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I like to deal with the telephone. I like the software.
Mm-hmm.
When the lights go off, the phone go off too. I find that they are very scary thing, especially in these days, like our phone play a very important part. Especially at night, I don't like in the day. At night, you don't know who went through the chance to do what they have to do when the phone and the light is off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about the disabled and the senior citizen. In case you're sick, you have the emergency, when the light go off, the phone go. Then the telephone company is asking the telephone battery, where you're like already hurting, so that when the light go off, the phone can still work.
Mm-hmm.
How many disabled as soon as you and can transfer a battery is order to hang it up. My second thought is to do with the water.
Mm-hmm.
When this little person is living on welfare and water, like telephone, food, everything is cut up in hurry. And we don't know how we're going to find release to those things.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, too, it's transportation. Now, you have to pay more on pressure, which, you know, transportation will be always a problem. Before it was hurting, so now it's going to be a little more higher.
Mm-hmm.
And transportation, especially for physical disability, that have to know transportation to go to doctors and everything. It's not to go talk here. Transportation is where it hurts. So those are the three things that is really
First, the UPS for the telephone system. With the various, the at least two agencies, I know the Council for the Disabled and the National Disabilities Unit.
Yes.
I think working together, those two organizations should put forward proposals, if they have not done so, to either government or the utility companies to see if there's some way you can provide assistance for persons with disabilities who rely on this type of communication equipment. The other thing is the rates, the increase in the rates for sewage and garbage collection that will obviously impact people on fixed incomes. I know the Prime Minister in the budget presentation talked about an additional $5 million, I think it was, for the welfare department. Again, how these things are accessed and whether or not they're abused, and in some cases I know that people who have disabilities are subjected to abuse in various ways. And I know you know that very well too. And the fight will always continue as to how you assist these people without letting the assistance you give them become an opportunity for people to abuse them or to abuse it. There must be some way that working with the various agencies, the Disabilities Unit, the Council for the Disabled, that we find a way to assist. And yesterday there was a lady who talked to David about people on pensions and fixed incomes.
Yeah.
One of the things I think the government must do going forward is to find a way to streamline these operations so that, one, people who are in those positions don't feel that you're being looked down upon when you go for assistance. Two, that when assistance is given, it is not abused. And three, how quickly we deliver when people say, I am in need. Because I agree with you. If you are someone with a disability, you may be accustomed moving around in the dark, let's say if you're visually impaired. But if you can't get your phone to work, if you can't get your whatever you use to operate, if you need support in any way, if you can't get it, it is an additional challenge and something should be done to assist. Totally agree with you on that. On the matter of transportation, we have tried on more than one occasion, I know, to get additional help. I've seen vehicles now with more signs saying that they cater to people with disabilities. But again, the cost. With the cost of fuel going up, I am sure the cost of moving around will become more expensive.
What you say is true, but the Disability Unit, the Council for Disabled, and the organization, yes, we do all this, but you still have to speak some, you still have to speak what you know, because you was there in the that a vote carry too.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with everything you said. I guess the thinking that you still have to raise it. You still have to raise it. Now that person is not working, and that is the only thing that you will affect change.
Yep.
Yes, you still work, but you still have to speak sometimes. And let you know you was a great
Mm-hmm.
You can still speak to the phone. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are the issues I don't really look at politics. I look at issues and the truth is affecting people.
Mm-hmm.
I like to raise Miss
Sandra Batra.
Minister, all the best.
Mm-hmm.
I was hanging the song and she will come up to everything. Thank you. Have a
Thank
good
you very much, and you too. Have a good day. Anyway, Brass Stacks, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Dennis.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Bear with me for a little while. I have a comment and then another point I'm coming to. My comment yesterday, there was a discussion about things being legal, so they should be done. I heard this discussion. I think Mr. Ellis was the moderator.
Moderator, yes, correct.
I'm giving you a scenario, and you tell me what you think of it. You are the head of an organization in government. So you decided that all your relatives, all your extended family, you're going to employ to the detriment of all the other people who may be better or even as well qualified.
Mm-hmm.
That's legal, I believe, but is it something that should be done? Is it ethical?
No, sir, it's not.
Right, good. So that is the argument that I would like to use for all those who think that as long as something is legal, it should be done. The other point I'm coming to now, I had a discussion on Sunday. I hadn't finished my important point, so that's going to be, I wouldn't be very long. You have worked in all areas, or most areas of the tourist industry, and I had hoped that you would have been able to come on the line at some point. I have a serious problem with people who feel that you look at figures, statistics in particular, and you just interpret them without determining what they really mean. Give a scenario. We are told that the average spend per passenger is around $78 US.
Mm-hmm.
A scenario, you have 100 people coming to Barbados. So out of that 100 people, only 50 people spend money. They spend $156 each. The average for those 100 people then would be $78. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Good. If, on the other hand, the other 100 people who are not able to buy an expensive watch for $178, those other 50 people, or even 30 of those 50 people, were able to spend $20, would that not push the total
spend
up? Right.
Mm-hmm,
so this is the point I wanted to make. The last thing is, we must recognize in Barbados that most of the people who come in on ships are people like us. They're not very wealthy people, all of them, and therefore you will have different budgets. Therefore, if you are trying to get the most out of tourism, you will try to cater as far as possible to the various segments of that population of people who come on the ships. So that was the main point I wanted to make on Sunday, but I didn't get the opportunity to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so there are times that I would like to give an input sometimes to what's going on. When we have a different setup where I could speak to the moderator in the air, I can tell them things. I can tell them things that would not go out on air so that they could say it and, you know, put the argument through. Unfortunately, the way we set up now, if I say anything, I would have to say it on air, and people sometimes get the impression they're jumping all over our moderators. So I tend to just calm down. Sunday was an interesting discussion, one that I have a great interest in, and I enjoyed sitting and listening to the exchanges. I just want to put this other comment. Thank you for your contribution, sir. Just before we go to the break, I just want to put this comment to someone who is commenting on the WhatsApp, and I'm trying to respond to them, and they keep coming back to me. The person said, Lime promised to provide batteries backup for their landline phones when fiber optic cables replace the copper lines. I raised that with the corporate communication, whatever her name, her correct title is, corporate communication specialist on air. And I was told that it was a Lime It was done by Lime, and when Flo took over, it was discontinued. Now, the person that's telling me is the same company and is a trading name, and the promise is legally binding. So take that up with the company, or madam, take that up with the company. I tried that, and I got nowhere with it, okay? You need to check the contracts. I'm not getting into the discussions with the names of the companies and legally binding. Fair Trading Commission? No. Brass Tacks. 434-1790. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello? Good morning. 434-1790, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning.
You can hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Hello? I can hear you.
Okay. I called Dr. Brass Tacks about something that happened Saturday night. Hello?
Ma'am, I am listening to you.
Okay. I called something about happened Saturday night. Me, my husband, and my little boy was walking the street in the Ivy. Sir, we get attacked. Me, hold on. All the radio.
Ma'am, okay. I hope you get some assistance. I hope you work out what the problem is at your end. And then, when you're settled, try to share it with us again. Because you seem to be distracted and upset at the moment. 434-1790, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi.
How are you, ma'am?
I am fine. How are you?
Well, I answered well this morning because what I call you about is about my minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Santia Bradshaw, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that there really, it got me worried, right? Because she's very good. She belongs to my constituency. I live in the Pine,
mm-hmm.
And right? And it really hurt me when I heard it. And I saw it in the paper, right? And I call into, I pray God that they will help her, you know, and she will come to it. Because she's a very good lady. And I hope that she may come and see me, because I'm asking if she could come and see me. You know, it really worried me. It worried me, like, if she was a child of mine, right? And I pray God that it will help her and she will come too good. And don't let it worry. I'm asking, telling her, don't let it worry her. Keep good. Pray to the Almighty God and he will help her, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking, oh dear Lord, I'm so sorry for her, right? But anyhow, thank you, Dennis. That is
okay.
All I have to say.
All right, and thanks for sharing that with Will. I hope she heard or the message is transferred to her. Just a reminder that U.S. passport was lost in Accra Beach belonging to Sandra Long. And if someone finds it, they can contact the Accra Beach Hotel at 435-8920-8920. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning, sir. I'm calling, how should I put it, querying of some assistance or something can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm visually impaired. I normally regularly meet in Spite Stone. When you get my chauffeur, you're going to the transfer board bus terminal.
Right.
The minibuses, the cars, everything are parked on it. Like you call it like a walkway or a layby.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to put your body out into the road. I've spoken to a former minister last year pertaining to this issue. He said he was going to look into it. But nothing has been done. And I mean, I can't see. I was visual before, but lately became, you know what I mean, lost my vision. And it's not fair. I need something to be done. You know, not personally me, but to assist the visually impaired persons.
Yeah, ma'am, I have to tell you, I know the area. I have seen the vehicles pulled aside there. It is a busy intersection on both sides, as a matter of fact, because when you're coming from the bus stand, when you cross the road from the bus stand, so you're on the left going towards the traffic light, there are buses parked there as well, on the sidewalk. You know, when the other caller was on, Rosalind, earlier, because I knew who it was, talking about people with disabilities, there was something I was going to say. I held it back because, you know, I hesitate sometimes to say what I know happens to people with disabilities, ma'am. Our sidewalks do not cater to people who are visually impaired or who can't climb heights. We have sidewalks that are at all sorts of different levels. So if you have problems with lifting your leg, for example, mobility problems, let me put it that way. You can't climb up and down and up and down.
With diabetes neuropathy.
Exactly. And then if you're in a wheelchair, to go up and down, sometimes the gradient is too steep. It's not correct. We talk.
There are challenges.
There are. And to me, it is being inconsiderate.
You know me. Because even like, okay, yesterday I went to pay some bills, right? And while it was, because me and my husband, we standing in line. And it goes like, the lady cashier comes, excuse me, just come straight to us. I said, my husband said, well, I don't want to do that because they know people. People being, oh, business is behave. Blah, blah, blah. And it was, so we just waited and then we went to her. She said, next time, future time, when you come to pay bills, don't stand in the line.
Right.
Just come straight
through, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but he's got no way around how people look approachable.
Yep.
You know me, but that's the thing about it, you know, and a lot has to be done pertaining to this visual impaired disability in general, you know, because sometimes you be walking. I got little children, so you walk in the town, and children watch you with your cane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband told me, Michelle, oh, she'll call my name.
That's all right.
Anyhow.
That's all right.
Look, the little boy watching you. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and I spoke to him for a couple of seconds. I told him, this is my guide. I have to have this in order to get along.
Mm-hmm. And this is what I think, and this is where I think education is needed. Eh? I saw something in the newspaper today, and it's not the first time I've seen it, about someone who was before the court. And when I saw it on both occasions, I noted it and I kind of just, you know, took it in. And that's a guy who had been in court twice.
Uh-huh.
On different charges, and he has myasthenia gravis. Now, he was not sent to Dodds because they said they couldn't care for him there.
Uh-huh.
On this occasion, according to the newspaper, when the magistrate started talking to him, he fell down on the ground and was foaming at the mouth. Now, I have myasthenia gravis. I have fallen on more than one occasion. I've never foamed at the mouth for anything. Whether it's a lack of medication or feeling ill, I've never foamed at the mouth because I have myasthenia gravis. I know it affects different people differently. Sometimes it's just optical. Mine is completely erratic. So I couldn't climb the stadium steps, for example. My knees would give out. I couldn't climb up a bus because the steps were too high. So it affects different people differently. But if you don't know what happens to people with myasthenia, you will make all sorts of assumptions. And that's where education of what is a disability, how it affects people, and how you treat people with disabilities. For example, somebody who has myasthenia may not be able to stand in a line for long periods because it means muscle weaknesses. So your muscles may get weak and you may collapse from standing in a line for a long while. But you look perfectly normal. So if you don't know that, as you said, they said, you know, if you've got a disability, comes straight up rather than stand in line. You need to know these things to know how to deal with people.
Exactly.
And I find there's a lot of education that we have to do to deal with people with disabilities.
Right, because I was saying to myself, okay, say like class one or infants from small, let the children get at least, just not every day, but every 2 days a week, a little something, what is disability.
Mm-hmm.
So in future, they can come along, they will understand what's happening and try to acknowledge and be aware of these situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Disability don't always come because you're just blind.
Black,
it comes
from
diabetes. It comes a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But just educate the children pertaining what it is actually all about.
Yeah, and one of the things I think we need to tell them as well is that you can't look at somebody and determine that they have a disability.
Exactly, you know what I mean?
Because,
you know, I don't, even when I take the bus, the transport board bus, I don't have no problems with the guys in the bus, nor the guys that are. Sometimes they even bring me straight up
home. Room, yeah.
You mm-hmm. know me, so it depends one or two, yeah, but I have no problem with them. All they say, hey, listen, make a space for this lady.
Stadium,
here for me.
Yeah.
She ain't got in the back. You know me. But they're not, all are not bad.
All are not bad, and that's the important thing. And once they know you, they assist. But going back to what you said originally, that area, sidewalks and heading, You can't just block it up. I know where you are. Where are you going? From Chaffette, right. Going right towards the traffic lights. Yeah.
It's a big car park beyond the fence.
Yeah.
And they just come, you know, just park right there. They don't care. You know me. You know me. You put your body right here. Beep beep beep. Beep. Big man noise in your ear. Keep it.
Noise.
And they don't care about you nor the other. You know me. But you know, it's a day I went. I called a Pacific gas station. I'm gonna call a name, and it was asking about ticket for. I don't know. What's the number? I don't know. It's a sweetheart. I'm visually impaired. Can you just help me number? And then she grumbled something. Then she listened to me carefully. Right. Hope and I pray that you would never be in the same position that I am. I never thought that I was here. It just recently this happened to me. You know me, and I try to mingle with the other. Right now, my friends, most of my friends belong to the Blind Association.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, and we just hang out. Carrie Ann is a good, you know, me, good mentor and stuff. Yeah, she did
is.
Well.
She is.
You know, because if it wasn't for her, God knows where I would be.
Yeah. You know, there's a young lady. She was in the studio here recently. Pretty brown eyes. Pretty lady, and she's visually impaired. I remember seeing her at a function one night and said to a friend next to me, you know, she can't see. And he says, yeah, right.
I wonder if you meet Miss Griffith.
I'm not calling her name on purpose.
No problem.
Okay. I stood up next to her and said nothing. Then I stood facing her and said nothing, and she continued to just look ahead. And then I spoke, and she recognized my voice, and she said, Dennis, and hugged me. The guy looked at me and said, but she's pretty. I said, I know, with nice brown eyes, but she can't see. We assume things by looking at people that we should not.
Yes.
We should not.
Since I've joined the committee and stuff, I've got a lot of friends and stuff, and everything's been great and wonderful. You know me, but...
Support is important.
Story,
eh?
Yeah, strong body support. The long and short of the story is that they need to recognize us.
Yeah.
They need very much so. So I'm not going to take any more of your time, and I just
hope that
somebody does... Something about that pavement.
Ma'am, I thank you for sharing, because I think the more we talk about it, I know there are people who are upset. Sometimes they say, you know, all you do is talk about it. But I think the more we talk about it, the more people become aware of the fact that in the twinkling of an eye, you can find yourself in the position that you talk about. Either visually impaired, or you have mobility problems, you have to use crutches, or you have to go to use a wheelchair. And the people who support you need to know how to do it properly. So in other words, you don't push people down an incline. You turn around and carry the chair down backwards. And we have to be a little bit more concerned about people who are not as able as we are. And thank you for sharing.